rain of the light till the power shed my skin. I found out yesterday that I understood my sins. I get along every day with the boys and the chores of the same law. I found out yesterday by the misery within. In the meantime, I got the downtime. I said, in the meantime, I got the downtime. All right. I gave me time in my prime just to shine and to whine and to get undying. I'm not ashamed for the change I got to make. I screamed the news for the blues and the cues and the hours that you put me through.
I'm Danny.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Grant.
We're Holy Void. And you're listening to our favorite place to rock,
UMFM 101.5.
Our regular host couldn't be here, so here's a rebroadcast of one of their classic episodes for your listening enjoyment. Please note, you might hear some discussion and announcements that are slightly out of date. Thank you so much for listening to UMFM 101.5.
Hello and welcome to Album Authority. I am your host, the Album Authority, and this is the 70th episode of the show. But when you guys listen to this, it'll be at 2 p.m. on the 12th of November. But I will hopefully not be doing this right now because this is pre-recorded. And hopefully, because it is reading week, I'll be laying in bed, watching reels, or maybe sitting on the couch, watching reels, or maybe, like, in a coffee shop, watching reels. I hope to be watching reels, is what I'm trying to say, if you haven't picked up on that. And so, for some reason, there is reading week in the middle of November. It's completely ridiculous. I really hate it. I think that they need to push it back to October, like the whole rest of the country, and have it make, like, any sense. But nevertheless, and it hasn't snowed, by the way, which is weird. Though this morning, which is not this morning for you guys, but there was, like, frost on the ground. So I feel like no matter what happens, I'm probably screwed. Like, if I said it didn't snow, it's going to snow by the time this is played on Wednesday. And if I said that it's going to snow, it won't. So no matter what I say, I'm screwed. Nevertheless, though, even without the snow, it is gloomy and perfect for today's album, which is Death Cab for Cuties, We Have the Facts and We're Voting Yes, which was released in 2000, the year 2000, which I love saying. For some reason, releases from the early 2000s just feel like black holes for me. Like, they always just seem, like, off in a way. Either I imagine them as released sooner or later. Anything till, like, after 2002 feels off. This is my favorite Death Cab album, and I believe it's their second album, though maybe, like, if you count their EPs together as an LP, it might be their third. But and it's before their big 2003 album, Transatlanticism. You see how 2003 feels right for that album? It feels fitting. Like, it feels like 2003 is a good, proper year for that to have been released. I've been into Death Cab for Cutie lately to keep with the current theme of my ever-transforming music taste. I am playing something that I'm into right now. But I started listening to them for a completely superfluous reason. And this is, I think, an important window into music and listening to music. Okay, see, I don't know if you guys know what Last.fm is, but I hate having to explain this. But it's a website where you can track your music listening. And, you know, I love all parts of my life that I can turn into stats. So, thankfully, I can get stats for my music. Honestly, I hope when I die, I get, like, a fact sheet for all the times I've spent in my life. You know, like, how many times I pooped, how many hours I slept in. I want all of the stats. How many hours I spent watching reels. I don't think it's going to happen because... Well, A, I don't think there's a God, but B, I don't think if there is a God, he's particularly trying to assemble Excel spreadsheets. I know he has the time because I guess he would be omnipresent or omnipotent or omni-something, omni-man. But I still don't think there's going to be a fact sheet, but I hope so. But anyways, on Discord, which again, I also feel embarrassed even saying aloud, let alone on the radio, but you can get a bot in a server where it can give you, like, little crowns, or what they're called, for having the most plays of a particular artist. So me and my friends have been, like, stuck in an endless war to get the most not important, completely inconsequential digital crowns. Yeah, that's really cool, and I feel really cool explaining that and just putting that out to the world. But I'm probably the only one that actually cares about it. Probably because I'm second and I want to be first. But my friend Nate, right, friend of the show Nate, who's been on here a couple times, he's right behind me, not in real life. So I went to his Last.fm. I found crowns that he had for artists that were not a lot of plays, and I targeted listening to them. And one of those was Death Cab for Cutie. So really, I listened to them for a completely ridiculous reason that had nothing to do with them or their music. But to be fair, in my defense, I didn't just pick out his small artists. I did pick out artists that I think I would be interested in listening to as well. And I heard good things about the band, so... And the band, I'd say they really ride an interesting line between indie and emo, especially for their earlier albums. It wouldn't be right to say that they are an emo band, but they're kind of emo adjacent. And especially the era of the band around this album, you know, their early works are far more emo influenced. And I think that's the right way to put it, is emo influenced. Because for me personally, I've never been an emo guy. I've dabbled with emo music, and I only really like emo bands that are kind of... that are kind of emo bands, or like dabble around in it. Like, I like an emo band that has something else going on, like not a pure emo band, if that makes sense. Eventually I'm just gonna say the word emo band like 500 times. Of my top 100 artists, the only two that I'd really consider are Turnover and Modern Baseball. Modern Baseball definitely being an emo band, but Turnover, like, kinda, I guess. There's something else going on. There's some that are emo adjacent, like Unwound, but that's a stretch. You know, they're far more post-hardcore and everything. All that being said, I have dabbled. And I listened to a fair bit a few years back. I remember I was 17, and it was the fall of 2021. You see, I had just gotten into Turnover over the summer, but I got dumped in the fall by my girlfriend of like 2 months or something. And let me tell you, when you're 17 and you get dumped by your girlfriend of 2 months, that is a big deal. I know now it's completely ridiculous, but now, and then I, you know, I found my way. I got more into emo music that way, and that's where most of my Turnover and Modern Baseball plays come from. And I gotta say, man, that's a great time to get into emo music. Right after a teenage breakup, it's probably peak. So all that to say is there's something almost nostalgic about this album's sound to me. I don't really have an easy reason as to why it's this album from other Death Cab albums, but it really speaks to me the most. It mixes the subdued vocals of Ben Gibbard with this plodding, relaxed feeling instrumentation that just kind of oozes nostalgia for me. And I think the vocals really fit that style. I just feel like this album, among the others, really plays to, is best at playing to the band's strengths and is the best mix of their emo influences and their indie sound. Anyways, here's one of my favorite songs on the album, and that is the opening track called Title Track. It is not called the name of the album, which is We Have the Facts and We're Voting Yes, which was also released in the year 2000. This is called Title Track, not the title track. It's called Title Track. Did you guys get that one? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
that was title track, employment pages, and 5405, sorry, and Little Furry Bugs. I love those songs. Title track does one of my favorite tricks in rock, where the drums come in later, and it like clears up the whole song. It reminds me of that Joy Division song, Isolation, where it does that same thing, where the drums get clear and it like clears the distortion from Ben Gibbard's voice. Gets me every time. Like, let me show you what I mean here. Let me show this. Like, let me find that. See that? And then let me compare that to Isolation. I think that's what it's called, but... Yeah, like clears up the whole song. I love when songs do that. That is like one of my favorite things, one of my favorite little tricks. And it gets me every time. The lyrics too really feel this just feeling of weakness in the lyrics that I really love. Like, I must admit I was charmed by your advances. Your advantage left me helplessly into you. I really love that line. That is such a good line. It just makes such a feeling of weakness. I tried my best to keep my distance from your dress, but call response overturns convictions every time. That is so good. And I love this like form of lyrics. I don't know how you explain it. I guess I have more about it later, but, and thankfully, these lyrics aren't very relatable to me. This lyrics of a guilty love is thankfully nothing I've experienced, fingers crossed. But it's for me, it's the feeling of weakness that really speaks to me, that feeling of like of not being, if powerlessness. And this album is full of that feeling. It's full of a feeling of feelings of weakness, of pleading, of resignation. In many ways, what I love most is that feeling of resignation across the whole album. Because like almost all of the emotions expressed on this album just feel subdued. They feel blunted. It's like they tried to write an emo album on antidepressants or like on Xanax. Like they just couldn't muster the emotions to yell or be too sad. And for me, you know, that's the relatability of it. Because, not because I'm barred out. But I just can't, I don't feel emotions all that strong anymore, especially being on antidepressants. So it's that feeling of muted sadness that I experience the most, like a feeling of just kind of a gray tiredness. And when I was at my most depressed when I was younger, that's what I felt all the time, this like flattening dullness. And I really think this feeling is perfect for this time of year, you know, the gray end of fall where it's chilly but not cold. The color is leaving like everything outside, but it hasn't been replaced by that almost like beautiful blanket of snow. This album feels very gray, but it doesn't feel heavy either. It doesn't feel dark. It feels like my walks to the bus station to get to campus. It feels like, you know, it's a morning. It's not dark. The sun is out. It's not particularly memorable or dramatic. But there's sometimes a negative feeling in that. And not that the album isn't memorable, but it's that feeling that it really expresses. This feeling of, I think I've mentioned this before for another album. I don't remember what it was, but like an adult sadness, like a very boring sadness. And there's this theme of, like I said, that's what I really love about this album, is this gray, flattening sadness to the whole thing. That's kind of its general essence. A song like 405 is a bit of an outlier and stands to kind of, you know, break up the pacing of the album. But it's still not a necessarily upbeat song. It's just faster, and it's almost lo-fi. And it feels like it's a song about remembering time spent as a teenager. Little juvenile things like hiding cigarettes under the patio so you don't get caught, or something like that. And it's, in a lot of ways, that's the feeling of the album to it as well. It's a feeling of feeling emotions, but years later or feeling the emotions in a memory. So they really lose this sense of heightened drama and gain a sense of just kind of like bland, sad reality to them. And that's what I really like about this album. And I think it being less close to emo, it only being really emo influenced, helps it really embody that particular feeling of emotional distance and withdrawal. Of my favorite, of those four songs, my favorite is definitely title track, but they're all great. Employment Pages feels really nice. It feels very nice, actually, and the lyrics really point to a sort of almost domestic life. I don't know. I don't think that's what the song is about, but for me, that's what it really captures. You know, things like moving furniture, cocktail parties, and politics. I don't think it's about, like I said, I don't think it's about that. For me, that's what it captures. That's something I really love about this album that that song really shows, too. There's an easygoingness to the album that I really love. Either it's in its sound or more subdued singing, but it just feels very listenable, which often for an album can be a bad thing. But here, I think it means that, you know, I can listen to these sad, emotional songs without feeling like I'm undergoing psychological torture or I'm in a therapy session. You know how some sad songs can feel. Like, it's just too much sometimes. And this is just a quick note. I've really had a blind spot for the 2000s in rock and indie, you know. I've been listening to some more good stuff from that decade. Either this, The Shins, Pedro the Lion earlier, or some Modest Mouse from the 2000s. More of a 90s band, but I've been really immersed in this specific musical world because of British music, where rock basically, like, for lack of a better term, dies in the 2000s. And yes, that's a cliche and it's not true, but for me it's been like almost true, and it's nice to actually see that it's not at all true. And there were very good rock bands in the 2000s that I just didn't listen to because I've been, you know, listening to Oasis nonstop for the last like year and a half. But anyways, here's more of We Have the Facts, and we're voting yes with Company Calls.
Dress them up to make a better you, 'cause all the company calls. I could've
That was... Oh. There you go. I was on the wrong microphone there. That was Company Calls, No Joy in Mudville, Science and Scientist Studies, off of the 2000, the album from the year 2000. See, 2000 album just doesn't really work. We Have the Facts and We're Voting Yes by Death Cab for Cutie. Company Calls is a good song, a very good song. I just think it's, for me, it's mostly just best at breaking up the pacing of the album. It's faster. It kind of serves to cut in the middle, kind of a jump in pace alongside the better 405 to really prep the listener for the far slower last three songs of the album, which together are 15 minutes of the 42-minute album off a 10-song album. The second of those three is really close to being my favorite on the whole album. Honestly, it might be my favorite on the whole album, and by extension, my favorite Death Cab for Cutie song. It's really hard though. No Joy in Mudville. The song is fantastic just because of how emotional it is, and that's obviously that goes for a lot of music, but specifically in the context of the album, on an album of such subdued sadness, the one song where Ben Gibbard almost sounds like he's begging, like there's such a plaintive, pleading sound to his voice. The lyrics are really good, but I have frankly no idea what the song is about. But there's little gray lines like, and your studies of fringe New York streets, I was reading the pavement and every word you would speak, to a brownstone up three flights of stairs. It's fantastic. It's a form of lyrics that are vague, but are nevertheless so full of emotion that you can kind of just infer and paint whatever you want onto it. It really reminds me of a less like tongue-in-cheek form of Pavement lyrics, just very obtuse, but perfect. The instrumentation between those lyrics and the chorus, this feeling of a building tension with a false release into the chorus, is so good. It has a real, really perfect dynamic of predictability and subversion with that. Like, it builds, it drops, and then it goes again. It's really good. And again, not only do I have no idea what this song is about, I have no theory. Like, normally I don't know because obviously I didn't write the music, and oftentimes music but sometimes it's clear. And here I have no clue. But I don't really need to know because it doesn't matter because I can feel the song and I feel that it's incredible. This is probably my favorite Death Cab song, maybe my second favorite, which I could barely say with a straight face. But because whenever I say favorite now, I just hear that stupid video of the kid eating the crumble cookies where he goes, "That was my favorite." And it's like actually ruined my life. Like, I can't say favorite now in most instances, or I chuckle. And the worst is when I chuckle and if somebody doesn't know, and then I have to explain what I'm laughing at, and it's awful. I love Scientist Studies as well. It's a really good ending song. It really wraps it up all nicely. It really embodies the feeling of the album as a whole while kind of still doing its own thing and while bringing its own uniqueness to the album, which is all you really want and all you really need from a closing track. I like how its chorus at the start feels very low-key. It barely feels as if it is a chorus at first. And it has just such a great riff at its core. Like, let me like... That riff right there, the... Doom, 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 doom. Maybe that's like a melody. Actually, that's probably a melody, but I don't exactly know music theory, so don't get mad at me. Nobody comes to Album Authority for music theory, that's for sure. But I really love that song, and I really love that melody, I guess. I love the drums on it as well. Honestly, I love the drums on this whole album. They work very well on such a lo-fi, low-key album like this. And they really shine through because of just how soft everything else is. And there's a great song on that song, a great lyric on that song as well. I may have gotten an invitation, but I wasn't invited. For some reason, it makes me think of that one Dismemberment Plan song called You Are Invited. It's this, like, silly 5-minute song, but I remember it as pretty good, and I listened to it before I started recording this, and yeah, it holds up. So if you guys want, this is an Album Authority shout, go listen to You Are Invited, I think is what it's called, by the Dismemberment Plan. That's a good song. That's another random indie band from the 90s, not emo at all. But a lot of Ben Gibbard's musical influences are not emo, or yeah, at all, actually. He's been a guest on one of my favorite podcasts that, once again, I've said it many times, but I urge you all to listen to, that is basic, like, it's like half of what Album Authority is, called Bandsplain. He's been on there a couple times to talk about, for some reason, it's totally slipping my mind. Oh my gosh. Teenage Fan Club, there you go, and The Laws. I love both those bands, but they're very different from what Death Cab is doing. But once you kind of think about that, and once you kind of remember that those are influences for Ben Gibbard and the band as a whole, it kind of really makes sense. Like, you can kind of feel a lot of the more indie almost pop DNA that they sort of, I think, lean more into later on when they're in their discography. I like some of their later albums, but I prefer this era, this more emo influenced era of Death Cab as well. Though I still don't feel like the future of Cooper music is emo, especially because Death Cab themselves aren't emo. But I guess music taste isn't something that can be really predicted or easily predicted. But I just don't think that this music, this band, is going to stay with me for too long. It's always hard to predict. It's like I said, it's difficult to tell when you're going to end up listening to Oasis for a year, or when you're only going to listen to the Smiths for like the next 2 years. Maybe it's seasonal. Maybe this album is, well, I think this album is perfect for this season, but it's not necessarily bad for any season, because it's such a light, soft album. I think you can kind of listen to it in almost any context. And that's sort of the beauty of it, in a way. Like, there's a lot of albums that I love that are just not replayable, because, like, sometimes I just don't want to listen to that again, or, like, get into that mindset. Like, I'm just kind of scrolling my Spotify right now. I don't see many. And I don't see many because I don't listen to them often, so they're not showing up. But there's a fair bit of albums that I really love that I just don't listen to often. This album doesn't feel like that. This album feels like a very listenable one that I will keep returning to, but not one that necessarily is going to be the cornerstone of my music listening for the next 6 months, let alone 2 months. Probably the next month, though. That being said, I have a special thing here. I have two Canadian songs of the week, and this is because... Nah, actually, it's not because I didn't play one last week. It's because I need to fill time and I'm out of things to say. And it's the reading week coming up. But for you guys, when you listen, it will be the reading week. And I'm tired, guys. I need a break like all of you. The Album Authority, he works slavishly for you all. But today's two Canadian songs are off of a Winnipeg local band, a local Winnipeg band's new release on Spotify whose recorded music I really love, but unfortunately I've never gotten to see live, because every time I try and go and see them, something comes up, or I get there late, or some other reason. But I've heard very good things about them, and I love their recorded music. This is Leaves Like Tiny Flames, with their two songs off of their single Split With Endurance, that being Stop Fighting, Chief Keith Didn't Die For This, and Hospital Bed. Have you all a good reading week, and while you listen to this, I sure hope that I am, and hopefully I'm watching reels. Thank you all very much for coming to Album Authority. We'll be right back.
could you wait there? Why can't we just be dead?
Si vous avez présenté une demande d'indemnisation pour des sévices subis dans un pensionnat indien, sachez que les dossiers de votre demande sont protégés. Ils seront détruits en septembre 2027, à moins que vous ne choisissiez de les conserver ou de les partager. Pour en savoir davantage, composez le numéro sans frais 1-877-635-2648 ou consultez le site mesdocumentsmonchoix.ca.
Hi everyone, my name's Ariva and I'm running to be your racialized student representative. When I came to Canada with my family and started high school here, I experienced cultural shock. Even when you speak the language and try to adapt, there are moments where you feel different, unseen, unheard, unsure of where you belong. That experience shaped me. It taught me